Hi, and welcome to another Cyber Podcast episode. I'm your host, Christoph Limpelair, and in this episode, Eric Gimbel joins us to talk about landing your first job as a penetration tester. Now, Eric has been a cyber member and learner, and a little while ago, he reached out to let me know that he was applying for a pen testing job. After getting that job and being in it for a while, we both thought that sharing his experience would make for a fantastic episode, and so here we are. In this episode, Eric is going to tell you exactly what you need to know and do if you're looking to land your first penetration tester job, even if you have zero prior IT experience. I know that this sounds like clickbait or a really bad ad, but that's literally what Eric himself did, so stick around to find out exactly how. Eric, I'm thrilled to have you on the show today, and I'm super excited for this conversation. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now, I know that you weren't always in IT, and I think that's super important to stress on because a lot of people may tune into this episode and they might think, well, he probably had, you know, 5, 10, 15 years of security or something related to IT, but you didn't, right? What were you doing before this?
Yeah, so that's correct. So I had zero background in IT. Could I use a computer as a normal user was, get on the internet? I had heard the term cybersecurity before, but in terms of actually having a background in IT, I have zero experience. My background is all in the physical security side of things. So I spent probably around 13 years, maybe a little bit over 13 years in asset protection. And then I did a little while with the Georgia Department of Corrections. Unfortunately, I was injured. So I couldn't continue in that career field. And so I kind of started looking for different career paths.
So when you say asset protection, what do you mean by that?
So asset protection is, or loss prevention, is usually done for various retail companies where you do internal and external investigations into theft. So I would catch shoplifters, and that's the external part. And then sometimes I would do investigations into employee theft or employees that were stealing.
Gotcha. So literally zero prior IT experience. And that's important for the rest of this episode. So I just want to make sure that we get that straight and out of the way. But as you were talking about, you did that and then you were in law enforcement for a while. You got injured. What are the steps that led you to then transition into the IT world?
So I figured out after a while while being on workers' comp, that I had an aptitude for technology. So I kind of started looking around and saying, well, what could I do? What could be a good career path, a good job to get in the IT field? So while I was looking around, I had heard, again, kind of the term cybersecurity before. I started looking into that. Wasn't really sure if I was going to go down that route or not, but basically, I knew that if I was going to pick up a job in IT, if I was going to take that plunge into that career path, I would need to get the foundational stuff down first. So the path that I took personally was I enrolled in a local community college, and I started their network security and computer forensics 2-year associate degree course. And so that is what I started doing. And the fundamentals, of course, is foundational. You have to obviously understand how computers communicate with each other, and that's the network side of things. You have to kind of understand about operating systems, of course. So I basically started down that path, taking classes, and eventually one of the courses I took was penetration testing. And when I took that course, I literally fell in love with ethical hacking. And so that is when I really started focusing and really started saying, okay, this is the career path that I want to follow. This is the exact job that I want to pursue in IT.
And I remember you and I met back in 2020. I can't remember exactly when, but it was shortly after I launched Cyber or some of the first courses on Cyber. And I mentioned that because I could tell when we first connected that you sort of knew what you wanted to do, right? You were interested in cybersecurity, penetration testing, ethical hacking in general, but you also seemed a little bit lost in terms of how to go from point A to point C. And so I can't wait to kind of hear your thoughts on how you would go back and do it a little bit differently, perhaps, or what you learned in the process of landing this position here. But as you were going through it and trying to find your path, you then ended up becoming a junior penetration tester, which is what you're doing now. And so can you walk us through your job duties and responsibilities in that position and maybe what your day-to-day looks like at this point?
Sure. So I ended up getting a job for Tyler Technologies, working as a junior level penetration tester. So my day-to-day currently involves various pen tests. And when I say various pen tests, sometimes you have what's called baseline pen tests, and then other times you're doing a more comprehensive penetration test. And so some of the other things that I do are social engineering engagements or projects. And that is where, of course, you use various pretexts or a story or a you basically use something where you're trying to get information out of a client that's hired you, and that information that they're giving you, they're not supposed to give it to you. And so you're coming up with a background story or pretext and basically tricking that person into giving you information. So my day-to-day currently involves doing pen tests and doing social engineering engagements. And so let me give you a little background. Excuse me. Let me give you a little background. So for a general network pen test, it's basically you're given, a scope of IPs, and you're then performing the various phases of penetration tests, footprinting, which is also known as reconnaissance. Then you move to scanning, which involves running vulnerability scanners, and then MAP, which is a port scanner. And of course, everyone, I'm sure, who's curious about penetration testing or has done any type of ethical hacking, you know what MAP is. And that is definitely something that we use day to day. And then depending on the information, that we get back, that's when we look at, the various ports that may be open, the services that are running on those ports. And then we look at what vulnerabilities that those services may have. Are they running out of date software? And then from there, we look at, can we exploit that? And a lot of times that includes testing web servers with Burp Suite. And Burp Suite, of course, is a web proxy where you're proxying or kind of sitting in the middle of those requests that a web server makes, getting post requests. Of course, there's other requests as well. And, we look and test those websites or servers that are on the open internet to see, what vulnerabilities are present and which ones we could exploit. And that basically, in the end, which is really the most important part after we're done with the technical side of testing, is where the reporting comes in. So the report is extremely important and valuable to our clients because that report allows our client to look at their network, see what's vulnerable on their network, and then have an action plan or a way to mitigate those vulnerabilities so they're not exploited by a bad actor or by an attacker. So that is currently what my day-to-day looks like. And it's been an amazing journey so far to actually see what goes on in a real penetration testing job. So that's basically my day-to-day.
That's great because it sounds like you're getting really good exposure to a variety of different pen testing specializations, right? You've got the social aspect, you've got the physical aspect, network, maybe a little bit of web as well, dealing with web servers and things like that. So you're getting to get that exposure to multiple different areas, not necessarily just one specific area, right?
Yes, that's correct. And my goal currently now is as I grow and become more advanced, some of the other things that, the other engagements that that can be done are, wireless pen testing, of course, a web application where you're you're solely focused on that particular web application. Then also, you know, internal, where you're kind of sitting on the inside of a client's network and you're testing their Active Directory domain environment and making sure their permissions and all the various things that need to be secure for an Active Directory environment are set up correctly. And you're looking and trying to, again, test for vulnerabilities and then trying to exploit that so that the client can then go in there and fix it. So my goal eventually is to be able to move into some of those more advanced tests.
Just out of curiosity and real quick before we move on to some practical tips for listeners, what would you say has been one of the most interesting projects that you've been able to work on so far in this job?
Sure. So I would say the most eye-opening, if you will, and interesting has been some of the social engineering projects, because as you get into ethical hacking, you know, you hear about social engineering. Of course, phishing is where the bad guys send some emails and then people click on the emails, and next thing you know, there's ransomware or some type of malicious software that's downloaded. But to actually be the social engineer yourself and get to use a pretext or a background story and get to see how many people actually fall for it, how many people don't follow their company procedures. And it's been very eye-opening, very interesting to see. And I think it highlights one of the industry's weakest points, which is not really the human aspect, but the fact that we need to train our people better. So companies need to train their employees better, and companies need to give more exposure to their employees. And that doesn't just include the IT staff. That includes everyone from the lowest level employee to the highest level CEO. It doesn't matter. Everyone needs to understand the impact that that a phishing email or that a social engineer or an attacker could have, because you could have the best network security around. But if that attacker calls up and gets one person to, you know, open an email or to give some information that they're not supposed to, then next thing you know, that entire company's network could be compromised.
Absolutely. All it takes is that one person to click on the link. All right. So now that we have some background information about your job, let's move on to the practical stuff that listeners can do to land this type of job. So let's say that you have a listener right now who wants this exact job that you're describing, or actually, you know what, let's say that you're talking to yourself from 2020 or 2019. What should you or they be doing right after listening? And maybe we can start with what they need to learn. Like, what are some learning platforms that they should use, and in what way should they use those?
Sure. So one of the biggest roadblocks for me as I was learning ethical hacking and, you know, all the things that surround cybersecurity, because there's a lot of different areas that you could choose to go in, right? You could go to the defense side, you go to the offense side, and even within the offense side, there's red teaming, which is more a specialized engagement where they're basically emulating an advanced persistent threat actor or group of nation state actors, or penetration tests. But the thing is it can become very overwhelming. And that was the roadblock that I kept stumbling on, is because there are literally hundreds, thousands of videos, books, and resources, many of which are also free. You know, you don't have to pay for it.
Yep.
But that's part of the problem, because you can become overwhelmed and end up going down many, many rabbit trails. And I think at a certain point I became disillusioned, and I said, you know what, there's just too much to learn here. I'm never going to be able to learn everything. And then you learn, you know, let's take penetration testing, for example. There's the basic penetration test where you're coming at it from a holistic view of, you're testing that network's perimeter. But then there's more specialized areas, which we've kind of already touched on, but like wireless. So there's wireless penetration testing. Well, you could spend the rest of your life learning about wireless penetration testing and practicing it. So that's one of the things that I didn't understand early on. I thought that in order to become a penetration tester, I was going to have to be an expert in every single area and facet of penetration testing. And that's just simply not true. And so that's one of the big roadblocks that happened to me as I was learning and going through, looking back at it. If I could talk to myself back before, when I first started this journey, I would have told myself, look, stick with 3 to 4 platforms. And those platforms, first of all, are cyber. And one of the reasons why I say cyber is when I reached out to you, I was very, I didn't know, I knew what I wanted to do, but I didn't know how to get there. And one of the things that you provided was a mentorship and a community. And that kind of helped focus me and kind of helped give me that encouragement and confidence that I needed to keep going forward. So then from there, and I'm sure some of the listeners are going to understand exactly what this platform is, they've heard about it or have even used it before. Try Hackme, Hack the Box. Those are very popular, at least now they are very popular platforms that allow the user to learn about ethical hacking, and they teach different areas of penetration testing, as well as, for example, Try Hackme even teaches the defense side. But if I were to tell your listeners one thing, which is do not become overwhelmed. Don't go down all the rabbit holes. Focus on Try Hackme, for example. Pick a path. You want to become a pen tester? Try Hackme has a path, a junior pen tester path. Pick that. Stick with it. Don't forget everything else. Just focus on completing one thing at a time. Don't worry about, as you're going through the junior pen tester path in Try Hackme, you're going through it, then all of a sudden you hear about, exploit development or buffer overflows. Don't get sidetracked. Just finish from point A to point Z, finish that junior pen tester path, and then move to the more advanced paths that they have or more advanced machines. And then Hack the Box is another excellent platform. However, I would say it's more geared towards intermediate and advanced users. A beginner can use it, but I would tell that beginner to focus on Hack the Box Academy. So the Hack the Box Academy is something to where, like, say you are a student, which I know some people are not in college, and that's fine. But say you are a student, you have a .edu email, you can pay $8 for Hack the Box Academy. Same thing for Try Hackme. And that Academy for Hack the Box is excellent. You can, again, pick the junior pen tester role or the bug bounty path. And so far, for example, I've went through some of the modules on Hack the Box Academy for the junior pen tester role, and it's exactly what I do on a day-to-day basis. Everything that I've learned so far on the job, that path will teach you. So that's, again, I can't stress it enough. Focus on Try Hackme, Hack the Box, find a community. My recommendation is cyber. When you start becoming more advanced, when you kind of have the basics down of the penetration testing process, you've kind of completed some paths on Try Hackme or Hack the Box, then move on to PortSwigger. So PortSwigger, that's who's created or who's behind the software for Burp Suite, but they have something called the PortSwigger Academy. And PortSwigger Academy has all the OWASP top 10 and more, and you will learn everything that you could ever want to know about web application pen testing. So those three platforms are excellent. And if you can just focus your time and energy on those three platforms and forget everything else, basically cut out all the noise that's around you That is what I would recommend. And if I could go back and talk to myself, that's what I would tell myself. I would tell myself, forget all the million books, the e-books that I went and bought, the regular books that I went and bought. Don't get me wrong, books are awesome, but forget all the. I mean, there's so many platforms, there's so many YouTube channels, which, again, I'm not taking anything away from some of the YouTube channels out there. There's excellent content on there. But one of the things that will happen to you is that, being overwhelmed, you'll end up getting burned out and you'll become disillusioned to the point where you're like, I'm never going to get a job in penetration testing because there's too much to learn. But part of the problem is that you're not focused. You're not completing the first steps. And that's my recommendation to your listeners, is focus on those platforms, complete those first steps, forget the rest, drown out that noise, and just stay on a clear path. If you pick TriAcme, stick with TriAcme. Complete that first junior level pen tester path and then move on. But don't stop it in the middle, then jump to another resource. That's the worst thing that you could do. And that's it's gonna zap your energy, it's gonna kill your confidence, and it's gonna be discouraging. So but that is probably the number one thing that I would tell myself if I could go back and talk to myself.
That if you're listening to this right now and you're not taking notes, you're doing yourself a major disservice. Eric just gave you an exact path of what you can do to land this position here, step by step. That you could not have been more clearer on that. So thank you so much for detailing it and recapping it too. I was going to do a recap at the end, but you did such a great job of recapping it. Thank you. One quick question as a follow-up to that, and I'm curious to hear what your thoughts would be on this, because you mentioned earlier that you just you got overwhelmed with thinking you needed to learn more than you actually needed to learn, and you were trying to fit an entire career's worth into just getting started, right? So as the listeners follow your advice that you just mentioned here, when do they know that they've learned enough? When do they know that they're ready to start applying for positions?
So that is a great question. And so for me, I had gotten to the point where if you said, Eric, I want you to, explain to me each phase of the penetration testing process. I want you to explain it. I want you to tell me the tools, some of the tools, by the way, because there's a ton of tools out there as well for each phase, like the footprinting phase. There's a lot of tools that you can use, right? But if you get to the point where you can articulate to someone else the penetration testing process and each phase and the tools that you would use in each phase, and you have gotten to the point where, you can comfortably test a perimeter of a network, you understand the various ports, you're able to research the services on those ports, and you're comfortable with firing up Burp Suite or Zap. Zap is another web proxy, and you're comfortable getting in there and testing, a website. And that is something that when I got to that point, I said, okay, I'm going to start applying to various jobs, because And here's another thing. Hack the Box, it is a phenomenal platform, right? But make sure that you understand that you're not going to get some of the hard and some of the, I can't remember how the names of the ranks they give their machines, but they have hard. Then they have, I think they have one that's called like Insane. If you can do those, you definitely should be applying for jobs, right? But let's be clear, that is not a requirement. An employer is not going to say, well, hey, can you, complete all these boxes on these CTFs and these platforms? So they're not going to do that, right? So if you have the foundational skills down, you are an avid user of Linux. What do I mean by an avid user? You understand how to make directories. You understand what, you understand how to SSH into the different computers and machines. You understand what a bind shell is, what a reverse shell is. You understand how to update and upgrade packages. And I would say, if someone were to ask me, well, what Linux distribution would you use? It doesn't really matter which one you use. You just need to use it. And you need to use it daily. And you need to understand the command line, especially the command line. You got to be comfortable with the command line, not only in Linux, but also in Windows as well. But that is something that when you are comfortable with Windows or Linux, you're comfortable with the command line, you're comfortable with understanding how computers communicate on a network, you're comfortable with the entire penetration testing process, right? So from reconnaissance or footprinting to scanning to then enumeration, exploitation, privilege escalation. Chris, can you pause it for a minute? I'm sorry.
Sure, no problem.
My toddler, so he's screaming and I'm getting way off pace. So I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me refocus. All right. So let me ask you. So when you asked me that question, because I felt like I was messing it up. So you asked me, well, when should someone, at what point?
At what point have you learned enough, right? When do you know you're ready to start applying for job positions, essentially?
That is a phenomenal question. So I'm trying to think.
Sorry, it's a tough one. Yeah, I had to ask because it's a really hard one.
I know, and I'm trying to think. So before we go back on, because I really want to, it's not that it's a right answer, but I want to give an answer that's gonna steer the person in the right direction. Because like, take me for example. So yeah, like I'm no longer a script kid on Hack the Box. Well, what does that really mean? Mm-hmm. It doesn't really mean anything, in all honesty, because when I went in for that technical interview, they wanted to know if I could articulate the different phases of the penetration test. They wanted me to talk about the tools that I would use in each of those phases. They did ask me some stuff about web application, like, explain burp suite, explain how you would capture a request, explain, about SQL injection, stuff like that. But they just wanted somebody that had a familiarity with the tools and the phases of penetration test. And they didn't really, I wasn't going for senior level pen tester position, right? I'm going for a junior level, and they expect that I'm not going to know everything. They just wanted me to be familiar with that. So I'm trying to figure out how can I articulate that and say that in a concise manner without getting...
I think you just did. And that's fair, but I think honestly you just answered it. Yeah, I think you're overthinking this one. I think the answer you were giving was good. And then what you just added there at the end was also really good. One thing that I would add is that, to be completely honest, I think if you feel like you're ready to apply for the position, you probably waited too long. What I mean by that is, you know what I mean, right? Like if you start, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? If you start applying for positions, they look at your resume and they go, okay, we want to get on the phone with you. We want to do the first round of interviews. The worst thing that could happen is you're not prepared. You get on there, they ask you questions, and you kind of stumble through the questions. You're not really sure how to respond. Now you know that you weren't ready, but that's okay. They'll tell you, you know what, not a right fit for right now. Maybe try again in a few months. That's the literal worst thing that could happen to you. They're not going to report you to the police. They're not going to, like, you know what I'm saying? It's we blow it out of proportion. We go, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not ready yet. But frankly, I think if you feel like you're ready, then you probably should have been applying months ago, if not years prior, depending on the person. So I know that's a hard question. I kind of threw you a curveball there, but.
I know, but it's a great question. So
one thing I haven't heard you talk about at all in this entire episode yet, actually two things. One is a degree, and the second thing is certification. So do you actually need degrees and or certifications to land this position?
So that is a question that is asked if, you're following various channels on YouTube, if you're following different InfoSec or cybersecurity blogs. That question gets asked constantly, right? So I think the answer is that yes, a degree can be helpful, but some employers will prefer their candidate to have a degree. It can certainly help you stand out in the crowd of applicants. However, I do not believe a degree is necessary. I think that what employers really want to see is they want to see someone who is passionate about cybersecurity and specifically penetration testing, but they want to see that that person has applied what they've learned so that they can, you know, that person can show them, hey, look, this is what I've went out. This is what I've done with what I've learned. I've not just sat back and read a bunch of books and got the theory and the academic side of what happens on a penetration test, but I've actually been participating in CTFs, been on Hack the Box, TriHackMe. I've whipped up some virtual pen testing networks and tested, you know, and used these tools. You know, they want to see someone who has applied what they've learned. So while I think that a degree can certainly separate a candidate from the crowd, it's not absolutely necessary. You know, for me, a degree was the right move at that point in my life. It kind of helped get me the foundational stuff down, like networking, the computer forensic side. That was really interesting to learn about. So for me, that worked for me. It's not going to be everybody's choice. It's not going to be everybody's path, and it is certainly not a requirement for penetration testing. Now, certifications. Another question that is asked often, right? So certs, I think, are important, right? Do you have to have a cert, you know, in penetration testing to get the job? No, you don't. Guess what? I have absolutely no certifications in penetration testing. I do have the CompTIA Security Plus. And that is one certification that I hold. Now, I will tell you that I'm working right now on the EJPT from INE, and that is a very inexpensive, great first certification for penetration testers. But again, my employer, for example, did not require that I had, you know, this certification or that certification. So I think certs are important. I think if you have several penetration testing certifications or even one, I think you should be applying right now. I don't think you should wait. I think you are absolutely ready. But I again, it's certifications are great, but my recommendation is stick to the certifications that make you apply what you learned. So hands-on certifications, like, for example, the OSCP. The EJPT, there's a lot of certifications out there that you just go in and take an exam. You have to answer a bunch of questions. It's just memorization. That doesn't really show that you have the skill set to perform a penetration test. So if my advice, if you are going to go the cert route, pick those certifications that they're hands-on. But no, it's not necessary, believe it or not. If you can show and demonstrate to that employer that you're not only passionate about penetration testing and cybersecurity, but that you can show, hey, this is what I've done. I've done some bug bounties. I've, you know, participated on, you know, Hack the Box, TriHackMe. I've done this CTF. And, you know, this is some of the networks that I built. These are some of the tests that I've performed. That can be enough to land you your first junior pen tester role.
I want to ask you about the steps you took to apply for the position and then eventually get the interview and then actually land the position. Before we do that, if we can spend just a couple of minutes on talking about soft skills, because I know that you've mentioned when we were chatting in private that soft skills are super important. What did you mean by that, and how can people use that information to help them with this type of position?
Sure. So soft skills, what on earth are soft skills? So what I mean specifically is that having soft skills means your ability to communicate not only with the clients that you will absolutely be interacting with, right? So that's whatever company you end up working for, when you're performing a penetration test, you're doing it for that client that shows your company. So you're going to be interacting with that client. But also, soft skills means your ability to get along with the people that you're working with. And I think one of the biggest mistake that someone can make is thinking, well, hey, if I get into ethical hacking or penetration testing, I don't have to be around people at all. And that's just simply not true. If you cannot get along with others, then I will tell you right now, it doesn't matter how technically astute you are, employers are just not going to hire you. You should be able to work with various personalities. You should be able to, you honestly should practice and be able to articulate technical concepts to a non-technical audience. And I think the other big thing that I think for anyone going into this field, remember to be humble, right? So no one likes to know it all, and you're never going to know it all in this field. It constantly changes. It's such an enormous field. It's highly technical. And one of the biggest mistakes you could make is going in it with a prideful attitude and hey, I know everything. And that's something that's gonna come out in a job interview. And so you want to go in with a humble spirit, and you want to show that employer that you can work with others and that you're willing to help your peers. And, you know, so go into the job with a teachable spirit, not a prideful one.
I love that. And one thing I would add too is, a lot of times when you're watching these movies, especially the hacking movies, quote unquote hacking movies, you've got somebody in there who is just super good at what they do. They're super cocky. They're very standoffish. They're not social at all. They're not friendly. People don't like working with them. That's kind of the Hollywood picture that you typically get from these movies. That's just not a recipe for success in the real world. That's just not how the real world works. So I'm really glad you mentioned that. And I had to jump in and throw that in, because that is not a good example to go by.
No, you're absolutely right. And I can tell you that my company, the team that I work with personally, I can't say enough about them. They're all more than willing to help train me. They'll bend over backwards to help me. And so the team of people that I work with, they're extremely personable, and they love what they do. They're passionate, but none of them fit that stereotypical hacker in his basement. So it's very important to have soft skills.
That's a great culture to have too. So, all right, let's move on to talking about the interviewing process itself. Let's walk through the steps of getting the job. So if you've got the listener who has learned what they need to learn, they've done what you set up until this point, they went through all those steps, and now they're ready to start applying for jobs, where are some locations that they should apply, and how should they approach doing that?
Sure. So for me personally, I started out with Indeed, and I just started looking at cybersecurity jobs, typing in penetration testing, ethical hacking, just kind of looking at, hey, what's out there, what's going to come up when I type these things into Indeed. And of course, there is Monster Jobs, Glassdoor. You could also, the other thing that you could do is you could look at, you know, say a company like, trying to think right off the top of my head, but say FireEye. Or I believe it's FireEye, Ambient. So an actual company that is, what they do is penetration testing. You could look at and see, do they have internships? Do they have positions open and available? And you could directly apply to that company. For me, what I did is I went on Indeed. I saw the position that it was available, and I went ahead and submitted my resume. And that's what I personally did. So
how do you make your resume stand out, or did you have somebody help you with that? How did you know that it was ready to go?
I started out with a resume where I listed, oh my word, all the different jobs I had over the years. And it became this resume of 4 to 5 pages. And so I ended up talking to a few people about my resume and kind of getting their opinion on what I should do and what they thought so far of my resume. And they all said, look, it's just too long. Do you want your resume to be one page? These recruiters, they're looking at hundreds of applicants. So you want your resume to stand out, highlight those things that specifically apply to the job that you're trying to get, and make it, you know, make it stand out in terms of the projects you've completed, the hands-on stuff that you've done that specifically apply to penetration testing. And so I redid my resume. It was one page only. It was, I went for a very minimalist theme. So nothing, no colors. It was a black and white resume. And that's what I did. So I will say that there is some value. And for example, with cyber, you can get some advice with your resume. In fact, Chris, you gave advice as well with my resume. So that's always a great thing to do as well. You know, whatever community you decide to get involved with, there will be people that can help you and that can look over your resume and give you pointers.
Yeah, I remember your original resume. I believe I was one of the people who said, let's go ahead and shorten that down a little bit. It's a little bit too long right
that
now.
That is so. Correct. Yes.
Good tip yes. there. If that you if yes. you need help, reach out, go to the Cyber Discord, join us there. It's cybr.com/discord and just ask around. There's usually somebody online that will be happy to look at the resume for you. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you are applying for a junior position and you have more than a one page resume, the first tip I'm going to give you is get rid of that second page. Find a way to condense it into one single page. That's pretty important. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Now, let's say that you've applied, you get that response, and you get an interview scheduled. Usually it's going to be a phone call or something like that. What do you do now? How do you prepare? What are some of the kinds of questions that a candidate could expect to be asked in an interview for this position?
First of all, expect to explain. If you're applying for a junior pen tester role, they are going to want you to explain and articulate each phase of the penetration testing process, and they're going to want you to explain the various tools in each phase that you would use. So my best advice in order to prepare for a technical interview for the position of a junior pen tester is get out there and start practicing some try hack me rooms, hack the box machines, get on Portswigger Academy, make sure you're familiar with the tools that you're using in each phase of the penetration testing process, but not only familiar, but that you know how to explain to that interview how you would use them and what that tool does. So that's what you can expect in a technical interview. And so it's going to be intimidating. You're most likely going to interview with more than one person. And keep in mind, the people you're interviewing with, they have years and years of experience doing penetration testing. So one thing that I will say is whatever you do, do not embellish, do not exaggerate your skill set or the projects you've done on your resume, because they will call you on what they see on your resume. So if you say, hey, I have, X number of years using a particular tool, they're going to ask you, well, hey, explain to us how you have used that tool to exploit or to, carry out penetration tests. And if you can't explain the tool that you just claim to have 5 to 6 years experience with, that is an immediate red flag to that team of people that are interviewing you.
Absolutely. And I've seen hiring managers use this trick where maybe they're looking at a resume, the person's coming in for an interview, and they see something on the resume that seems a little bit odd, maybe far-fetched, right? To your point, it's unlikely that they have that experience. So they'll be sure to ask about it because they want to see if you're going to BS your way through the interview, or maybe you do happen to know it, right? Maybe that's just something that you spent a lot of time learning and you're ahead of your curve for that. That's very possible, but they will smell the BS from a mile away. And that's going to be a red flag that pretty much automatically guarantees you're not going to get the job. So don't try to BS your way through that. That's a really good point. Now, let's say that you do really well through the round of interviews and then you end up getting the job. At that point, can you kind of walk us just quickly through some things that you should expect? Like what was your experience the first couple of weeks on the job, and what did you end up doing during that time?
So, of course, when you first get hired, there's the human resource stuff that you're gonna have to go through, and that's typical in any job, right? But your first couple of weeks, you can expect to figure out into their processes, their methodologies. You're gonna be shadowing more experienced employees or people that they have doing penetration testing, and you're gonna just basically be in that training mode for the first couple of weeks until you're confident enough. And it could take months, could take weeks. It depends on how fast you learn, how much you already know, what you're comfortable with. And so that process will be different for everyone, but expect when you first start, you're going to be going through that training period and you'll be shadowing other more experienced pen testers.
One piece of advice that you often hear or see in forums or in interviews like this is that if you want to get into this type of job position, you need general experience or multiple years of IT experience in general, or you need to spend some time in a help desk position. You didn't do that, right? We talked about this at the beginning. We set that standard of you didn't have prior IT experience. So what's going on there? Is that bad advice? Do you agree, disagree with that? What's going on?
That is bad advice. So that is advice that I started to believe. I thought that, you know what, until I get a few years of experience, whether it's in a help desk job or a general IT job, no one is going to hire me to become a penetration tester because I don't have any experience. But that is not true. You do not need to go and look for a lower level position first in order to get a penetration testing job. So please don't think that. If you are, if you believe that you're ready to start applying for a junior pen tester role, get out there, start applying. Do not let anyone talk you out of it. Do not believe that you need to have, X number of years of experience as a help desk technician. That is just simply not true.
There's so much more we could be talking about here, and this has been so helpful from my perspective. I know it's going to be super helpful to the audience as well. I wanted to make sure we get as much information in this episode as possible, and so as a result, we went over the time that I promised you for the episode. Usually it's about 30 minutes. We're a little bit beyond that. I'm good with it. I appreciate you spending a little bit more time on this call, but let's go ahead and start wrapping up a little bit. And usually one of the ways that I like to wrap up is by doing what I call a quick fire round, which is just some quick short answers and questions. And so the first one I'm going to ask you is, what are some of your hobbies outside of work? What do you typically do when you're not working in IT?
Well, most of all, I enjoy spending time with my family. We'll do a lot of outdoor activities, summertime, beach, fall. We'll do a lot of hiking, winter, lots of sledding and snow stuff. But I definitely enjoy, believe it or not, getting on Hack2Box, TryAcme on my free time and practicing. And, it's again, it's when you get into this field, it becomes a passion, right? And so it's not something that you stop thinking about just because you're off work. So it's one of the things that I enjoy doing, but most of all, spending time with the family.
Let me know if you ever want to go hiking at some point, especially if you're swinging by Denver. We could have a lot of fun doing that. So let me know. But next question
Oh, wow.
is
Yes.
what's one of your favorite books, movies, or podcasts? And it does not have to be IT related.
So, favorite show is by far Mr. Robot. So I know that may be cliche, but man, what a great show. I've watched it several times. I love the fact that a lot of the scenes in Mr. Robot are very accurate and just a great show.
I've been meaning to go back and watch that show again. I don't know why, but when I first watched it, I didn't really like it very much. And I think it was mostly to do with me and my life at that point in time. So I've been wanting to go back and watch that again. I should do that at some point this maybe next couple weeks or so. So thank you for reminding me. But last one
Yes.
that I wanted to ask you is, in your opinion, what's one area that we're missing the mark when it comes to cybersecurity training, platforms like cyber and so on?
Well, I think like two things. So I think sometimes when you're learning, say for example, you're learning about buffer overflows. I picked a very specific topic. It scares a lot of people. It is a technical topic. But I think one of the issues that you'll see is you will see someone explain point A to point C, and they'll miss point B because they assume, they make that assumption. Well, that person, of course, is going to already understand that. And so I think when you're dealing with highly technical concepts like you face in penetration testing, I think if you're going to be someone who's going to train and educate and try to help people learn penetration testing, don't make assumptions. You know, make sure that you're connecting those dots and breaking those concepts down. And then the second thing I would say, and don't get me wrong, because a lot of platforms, they already do this, but mentorship, right? So Cyber does mentorships. There's another platform called THM Security. They offer mentorship. But I think the problem that I see is that, especially as, you know, if you're a student, whether you're in high school, college, or say you're not in school at all, and you're out there trying to find someone to mentor you, there's not enough professionals or people that are already doing penetration testing in the industry that are available that can mentor someone. And I think that really falls on probably employers, and in different platforms, they really need to focus on that. Because say, for example, I had someone mentor me, spend time with me, help me with those areas that I might not understand that well, or that I might need some help with, that you can't replace that type of interaction, that type of one-on-one interaction. So I think mentorship is extremely important, and I just think it's not as available as it should be. But I'm not, you know, so that's what I would say.
Yeah, thank you for the feedback. That's super helpful. So, Eric, if people want to follow up with you, how can they connect and reach out?
So the easiest way for you to get me is on LinkedIn. It's going to be Eric Gimbel. You'll see that if you search for Eric Gimbel on LinkedIn, you'll find that I go to UMA, University of Maine at Augusta. If you want to reach out, send me an email. If you're not on LinkedIn, at SecKevin@protonmail.com. I'm going to spell that. That's going to be SECHVN@protonmail.com.
Eric, thank you so much for your time, man. This is going to sound kind of cliche, but doing an episode like this has been a dream of mine, right? That was one of the reasons I started Cyber, was to be able to have community members that are trying to find their path, and then they end up finding their path in this industry. They end up finding success in the industry, and then they come on the show to talk about it and to share their journey and to share the resources that help them get there. So you've helped me achieve a goal that I've had from the very beginning in starting Cyber. I'm super proud of you, man. You've achieved so much already, and I know you're going to achieve so much more. And I'm just so thankful that you were willing to do this and that you took the time to do it. So thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for having me. And I just want to tell everybody out there, if you're passionate and really want a job in penetration testing, do not give up. It is absolutely possible. Just keep pushing forward.
You can also connect with Eric on Discord. Again, it's cyber.com, cybr.com/Discord. If you have any other further questions about this episode or anything related to it, you can find him there at SecHeaven in the Discord channel as well. And you can find me there too. So feel free to connect with us on Discord. Thank you so much. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. We'll have plenty more of episodes like this in the near future. So thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you next time.